Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we are going to be talking about God consciousness. We are continuing our discussion on how it means to be aware, how it means to be God-centered thinking, and what is a spiritual evolution. So many people these days are saying, the way I used to do things isn't working, and I'm trying to figure out ways to be able to grow. That's one concept. But also the idea of spiritual practices versus religion and maybe our stuckness or our rituals and our habits that we've had in the past. Or this is the way it's always been done, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to put my feet into the floor and cement them there because I know no different and I'm fearing the different. So we are going to be just talking about all these different concepts. Generally, in the past 2 months, we've done this with several other authors and practitioners. To continue the conversation, today my guest is Reverend Michael Carter. His book is The God Consciousness, A 30-Day Journey to Achieve God-Centered Thinking. And this is a great book because it's very short. It's a month-long handbook, and it has spiritual practices and reflections. So what does that really mean? Well, you open up the book and it'll say something like Day 10, Discover and Fulfill Your Destiny. There's a little bit writing on the front page. On the back it says Today's Affirmations. They have short little something that you should read. And then it also has a picture. That is what the book is all about. It's something very simple. It's not over that you have to sit down and contemplate and say, I need to do more research, I don't understand it, or it's just not ringing with me. Very simple, very concise, and I think it's a great place to start. So, Reverend Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
So what do you think? Think where everybody's in different levels and everybody is just searching and everybody's trying to be, but they don't know what the be means, right?
I think and I feel that everybody is on their own unique path. Okay. There are more people now, as you said in your opening, that are saying the old way is not working. I want to try something fresh. I want to try something new. This in itself is growth, because if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like right. A nail. Einstein said that, of course, his definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. What I do borrow from is the 12 steps, is that I'm only responsible for my growth. And by that, I don't mean that in a narcissistic way. But a lot of times we're so concerned with how other people may be living their lives that we could be using that energy on our life. What you're doing on this show is very similar to what Oprah Winfrey has been doing. This month, she's doing all her, for about a week, she's doing a show on spirituality. And she has different guests, celebrity guests, and they get to come on and talk about what they consider spiritual practice is for them, what religious practice is for them. So even with that synchronicity of you and Oprah and many others, that there's a new consciousness forming, that people are seeking for answers inside instead of out. And consciousness is just another fancy word for awareness. So I'm very hopeful, and I'm also one of those individuals, which is why I wrote the book.
And I think it's very important to note that over time, over the last probably 100 years, we probably would not have had this conversation. We've really evolved over the decades, and I think we will continue. So what might be true for today may not be in the next 100 years, but it's just a process through which we all become the beings that we are, correct?
Yeah, and I think that, again, you know, the focus has to be on the individual. Dr. Wayne Dyer says that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And so what I try to do is narrow it from the collective, we all, to what I can do. I'm not so concerned about what we all are doing. I have no control over that. That's why the Serenity Prayer is such a powerful prayer. Let me have the knowledge about the things I can control and have the courage to do something about them. So I think, again, part of the inner peace comes when we stop worrying about what the other 8 billion people on the planet are doing and that we're living out our destiny. And everyone is not going to arrive at the same place at the same time. It's just not realistic to even expect that. But as long as we are tending to our part of the garden, we don't need to worry about what the bigger picture is. We just know we're part of that picture. Many people are so overwhelmed because for two reasons. They're trying to do too much at once, or they're worried about, well, when's the world going to change? When are we all going to? It's not about we all. Rumi says it wonderfully. When I was young and clever, I wanted to change the world. Now that I'm older, I just know I need to change myself.
Yes, and how so many people will say, I hear it, I get it, now how does it happen? Or does it just, as many have said, you can sit there and pray for it and one day maybe it will come upon you. Now, I've heard both of those sides, or also, too, that people still feel that they need to follow gurus, or they have to go through some kind of process that will shed all of their habits and shed all of their past life memories and everything, and they will become this ascended being. What are your thoughts on that? Oh, goodness. I think we may have lost him. Hello. So if you could please call back, if you still hear me, that would be great. Reverend Carter's going to be with us in just a moment. We've been having a little bit difficulty with the shows these days. Seems like the energy out there is pretty strong. Let's see. Hi,
hello?
Reverend Carter, you back with us?
Yes.
Great.
I'm hearing, I heard what you said, the first part about gurus and then people. You know, how can I say? That may be good for them. Look, we're all on a different path. I want to be very clear that if people feel that a guru is helping them, then far be it from me to tell them that they don't have to.
Right.
If people are saying, because the test is it making you happy? If it's not making you happy following a guru, then you may want to try another path. But that may work. You were talking a few sentences before that about manifestation. Well, everything starts with an idea. And some things take a while to manifest. But if you look around the room that you're in right now, everything began with an idea. And so if I want more money in my life, I have to focus not on being broke, but on the abundance I want. If I want better health in my life, and these are not new ideas. People call it new age or new thought. But this is ancient wisdom rediscovered. This is what the movie The Secret and these shows are about, is that everything starts in your mind. That's the cause. The manifestation is the last level. It's the effect. It's what appears on your outer world. Now, you mentioned prayer. Well, it depends a lot on how you pray. Not that there's a formula per se, but what are your intentions? Do you really believe what you're saying, or are they just words? Or are you looking at the creator or creation or the all that is or Allah or the force? Call it what you will. If you're begging as opposed to affirming, then it may appear that those prayers aren't being answered. I'm 58 years old, and I was raised with God being Santa Claus, a man up in the sky, usually a white man, but a man up in the sky who would punish me if I was naughty or nice. And so if I was good, I'd get my prayers answered. If I was naughty, I'd be punished. That's not a mature or sophisticated perspective on how the world works. And so we need to examine, what is it I do believe about the universe and my place in it? Einstein said that one of the most important questions that we have to ask is the universe a friendly place? Because depending on that answer, that's the way we're going to live our lives.
Yes, because, excuse me, because you might see every day you get up, oh, it's a miserable day outside because it has some clouds. Or, oh, I hate going to my job because my boss is a pain in the neck. And do I really have to take these screaming kids with me today because I have to drop them off at daycare? So if you arise with all of the negativity, you can be sure guaranteed that the rest of your day and the days after, as you continue that pattern, will continue that way, correct?
Yeah, we are co-creators, and so we create our own reality to a great degree. That doesn't mean that people don't get cancer or AIDS or car accidents. These are part of the challenges of life, but our attitude about them can go a really long way, and you gave a great example. And the thing is not only do we think that way, then we pour caffeine on top of that. Then we read a newspaper and get all this bad news, and then we wonder why our lives aren't as fulfilling as they could be, and that we're not living as the creative, beautiful, authentic human beings that we were meant to be.
But then also you add in social media, and now you've got peer pressure on top of it. You know, I mean, everywhere you turn in social media, if you want to say something negative, you'll have 1,000 people right behind you. Yahoo, 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 you know. They're all just clamoring at the opportunity to be able to find someone else that's in that muck soup that they're in.
Yes. I was, before you called, I was just reading one of Eckhart Tolle's older books, A New Earth, and he was talking about, he spends a lot of time talking about the human ego. And he says that the human ego, its basic motto is, you're responsible for my pain. I'm not responsible for it. It's you. It's the weather. It's always something outside of ourselves. And so to unlearn that, as Yoda talks about in Star Wars, sometimes it's more difficult. You must unlearn what you've learned. And sometimes that's even more difficult than learning something new.
Yeah, I think I'm almost 60 myself, and I'm sure we've heard this a lot in the older generations where, you aggravate me. Oh, my gosh, you're really causing me a lot of crap here. Or, really, did you have to do that to me? You ruined my day. Those conversations were quite frequent in the older generations.
I won't limit it to the older generations. They're in this generation as well, but we've evolved a bit.
Correct, because, yes.
And we've evolved a bit. And so it's just about focusing on creating the world we want instead of the world we don't want, and we're creating the life we want. So we put that energy. Buddha told us 500 years before Jesus that everything that you are and will be is because of your thoughts. Thoughts are things. And so if we can learn to discipline the mind, which we can, if we put the work in, it doesn't mean it'll be perfect, but we can start to see the outer manifestations of what we want, but we create it by our inner thoughts and intentions.
You know, it's interesting. You can watch two people, an elder maybe, or someone like in their 50s and 60s, that they may have been diagnosed with cancer, or you could see a child diagnosed with cancer, and you see totally different reactions at times. I have sometimes with the elders, they take it very, very much to heart, and they feel it's the end of their life. But with the child, they'll say, okay, when is the ice cream coming? You know what I mean? And it's just such a sharp contrast. But as a child, they don't have all of those tapes playing in their head. They don't have all of that baggage already stored up. They don't have already all of those fears that may have been ingrained in them all of their life. And it's just so different.
Well, that's to be expected if you haven't lived. I don't look at that negatively at all. They don't have the life experience.
Right.
And so sometimes that can be a blessing and sometimes not. You're going to see that from an older person who may have family, who may have attachments to other things. And so with a child, they may not have, but that's part of life as well. And so, it's how one is not right or wrong. It's just where you are on your journey and how you will handle. Because a lot of it is judgment. And I am too, we're very good at judging others, very good at that. And so the inner peace, when you're striving for that or when you touch with that, you just don't need to be taking other people's inventory. And you find less time to have to worry about that or less time to devote to that. And that's one of the characteristics of being at peace. You don't need to be taking other people's inventory.
And I think you just don't even notice it after a while, don't you think? I mean, I notice myself, I just don't notice, you know, about other people's inventory. It just doesn't appear, in other words. Maybe I could say in the past, probably maybe in the early 80s, you know, I'd be pretty irritated and I'd be, why are you doing that? What'd you do? What did I do? What did you do? You know what I mean? But I can honestly say I just don't notice it anymore. In other words, it just doesn't, and people say, what do you mean you don't notice it? And I'm just like, it just doesn't pass my, it just doesn't appear for me. And I can't hardly explain it to them. It just doesn't show up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good place to be. That feels like a good place to be. Because it's basically what happens is, we wind up wanting to be right. And human beings will give up family, they will give up fortune, they will give up fame.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using hyperbole. But many of us, we just want to be right. And we have to be right at any cost. And when you give up inventory, you don't have to be right. If someone says the sky is green and you know it's blue for you and it's green for them, rather than arguing with them about it, you go, oh, okay.
That's just it.
Blue. You know, you want to vote for Bernie Sanders, you want to vote Republican, you know, whatever it is, a religion. After a while, it just doesn't matter because you find out that all of that in the end is going to be an illusion anyway.
Right, and it just doesn't, it's not, you're not somebody here to justify something, to prove a point of something that when, as you said, it's an illusion anyway. It's just, it's different to explain. So let's share something you have in your book that it says, And everyone, gosh, if you look at the internet, if you look at past radio shows, you look at other people doing things, they all want to know, what is my purpose here on the earth? You know? And in your book, you say it succinctly, to serve humanity and to learn to love and forgive others as well as each other. Gosh, and everybody says, yeah, but what do I do? But how do I do it? But what is it about? How do I make money at it? And it's like, you know? So, I mean, really, how do we get from the doing part, which is what we have to do? We have to raise our kids. We have to make money so that we can have a roof over our head and pay our car payments. But I get it about serve humanity and learn to love, and I think I'm doing that on the side. I think this is where a lot of conflict is coming in people, that they are thinking that you have to be totally one side or the other, and maybe it's just finding a resonating balance in the middle that can ebb and flow.
Yeah, well, the Buddha's talk the Buddha and Buddhist and Buddhism talks about the middle path, but I think it's just about where you are on your journey. I don't compartmentalize my life. I used to when I didn't know any better. This is my job. This is my family. This is fun time. This is my religion or spirituality. But now I realize that it's all part of the same total picture. And it's, first of all, you know, we're here to be human beings, not human doings. And so the first thing to do is to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do groceries, so do I. Yeah, I have a child, so do you. If anything, that draws us together because we have something in common. We could be rich, poor, black, white, gay, straight, but we have something in common. We have to work, and we have to take care of our children. We all want the same thing, so we can look for commonalities. The other thing is to be still, to take the time. 5 to 10 minutes. You don't have to sit in the lotus position, but if you want to, then that's fine. But just to slow down the mind, to stop running and doing, and just to be still. Many people can't hear the call for their lives because they're so busy being human doings instead of human beings. And this takes discipline. But you can't heal being by doing, because doing is of the ego. And you will never, ever be enough. We have to stop the glorification of busy. How you doing? Having a good day? Yeah, busy though. What have you been up to? Yeah. Haven't seen you in a while. Oh, yeah, I've been busy. As if that's something to brag about. As if somehow I'm earning my living. I'm a good person. I'm busy. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with that. That's the glorification of busy. That's why every genuine spiritual path always talks about a time just for you to be still, to meditate, to contemplate. That's a beginning. The other thing is to stop comparing ourselves with everybody else. Someone else's path may be very, very different from ours. And so what works for Deepak Chopra may not work for Michael Carter. What works for Aunt Marianne Williamson may not work for Jane Doe in Iowa. You find your path by being still and asking yourself the questions. What do I really want in my life? Who am I? What's the point am I trying to prove? Am I just rebelling and I'm angry, and so every time I get into somebody, I got to prove something, I got to argue with them, I got to disagree with them? Sometimes you do need to go to a guru, but the guru may be a therapist. The guru may be your rabbi or your priest or your mom or your minister. It may be a good friend.
And also, too, I think sometimes some people in the past have said they needed to go to various different people so that they could hear back what they were saying from the other people. In other words, sometimes when you have someone in front of you, you're not necessarily always looking for the answers from them. You're just listening to your own self speaking so you can hear back what you're saying, and out of your mouth may come that which what you needed to hear or do or be or whatever it is, or change or whatever that might be. Sometimes people always say, but I have to go for the answers. They got to tell me, you know, what it is. How do I do it? when really all you're doing is wanting to hear your own voice.
Well, there you are. And again, I got to do something, see. I can't just be. Let me go do something. I got to find. I got to do. I got to get this. And you just wind up in quicksand. But that's what good listeners do. And if you have a good listener, you know, whether they're professional or not, who are trained to listen, that's always a gift. Well, another thing one can do is, it's very difficult, try to go 24 hours without giving advice.
Yes.
Try to go, if someone comes to you with something, just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen. Don't give advice. And not unless they ask you to, and then you can choose to. The other way you can start is to learn to be grateful for what you already have, to be thankful, to be grateful. We're coming up on the season of Thanksgiving. Well, every day can be Thanksgiving. That's not a cliche. But all that means is that with a child, if you buy your child a new bicycle and she breaks it or doesn't take care of it, and then she comes back and says, I want another bicycle or something else, you don't give it to them because you say, listen, I love you. I always will love you. But you need to be able to take care of the gifts that I give you. Well, the universe works like that in a way as well. And if you're not appreciative of what you already have, then you're not open to receiving the new.
Right. How about the concept you say in your book about removing your attention from the death process and place it on the process of birth itself? I know myself. I see a lot of this discussion out there where things are terrible. We want to raise it up. We want to execute the people who are making it terrible. We want to condemn them and see them hang at the cross, you know, when really, can't you just start with yourself and maybe clean your spot up for yourself versus being out there, you know, waving your fist in the air?
Well, that's what 12-steppers do. Again, it's keeping, this is the another 12-step saying, I got to keep my side of the street clean. I can't be worried about your side of the street. I need, now, and I want to be clear, because I find this, and I want to be very clear to the listening audience. If you are an activist and you feel that your goal is to change the world, then you have to do that.
Right.
But you also have to remember that there are different ways of changing the world. Some people will focus on the inner. Some people will focus on the outer. Some people will do both. I know my social action, my social justice initiatives are much more powerful now because I'm coming from a different place inside. Otherwise, you won't realize how beautiful the world is. I have a good friend, and we had a shaky friendship at the beginning, but she wanted to change the world, and she wanted me to change the world, and she wanted me to change the world her way. And I had to say, no, 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 no. You have to do what you're called to do, but you also have to give me the space to do what I need to do.
Right.
Yeah. So I just want to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some people who, what, maybe they have wounds from childhood. Maybe they just don't want to. But they may say, oh, come on, Michael, that meditation crap, that changing yourself first. There are too many problems out here. I got to get out of here. I got to do this. And you say, okay.
Yeah.
I wish you blessings, but I have to do my thing, my way.
Right, and I think also, too, not only just the purpose of everybody as an individual on their own individual paths, sometimes some of these systems sort of need to what we would call, like, I'd say like it, I think of the earth as an amoeba. You know, things just kind of like shape, shift, and mold as they go along, you know. So if some of these things need to shape, shift, you know, where some people need to be the activists and others need to come up with some great solutions to be able to clean the water and others need to say your water is dirty and others need to bring it up so that we don't have any more pollution from certain companies, you know, those are all the shapeshifters, you know. They'll all come into being in that space and we're all just a piece of that.
Yeah, that's similar to what Paul says in Corinthians, that we all have gifts. Some people can sing. Some people are psychic. Some people are hands-on healers. Some people are activists, I'm adding, obviously. But everybody has their part, and we all work together, but we don't have to be the same thing. There's this is what the phrase unity in diversity is about.
Mm-hmm.
Unity,
and then if you,
diversity
if you,
doesn't have to mean divisiveness.
And also, when you think of an amoeba has no boundaries on the ends. So kind of let's go into your topic of illusion of separateness. You know, in other words, everything does run in to other things, but you don't lose yourself, but everything does phase in and out. In other words, you're in and out of this. Maybe you could say it better. How about that?
No, I hear what you're saying. It's very important
yeah.
what you're saying. We're all interconnected. There is the interconnected web. Dr. King talked about it. We have it as part of our principles in the Unitarian Universalist Association, that we are part of an interconnected web. What I do to you, I do to myself. I mean, there are First Nations teachings about this. The other thing, though, is I love what Robert Frost said. Good fences make good neighbors. What we've been talking about has been boundaries. And we always teach what we need to learn, that I can still be who I am, but I can let you be who you are, and vice versa. I don't have to intrude on that. But if people don't have good boundaries, they're not going to respect yours. We see it in the world of religion. If you don't believe what I believe, you're going to be barbecued. You're going to burn in hell. You're going to be anathema. God doesn't want this. Well, that's the person who has no boundaries. They have to put their beliefs on you. Most people who are secure about what they believe don't have to force you to do it their way. As a matter of fact, they don't even. Some of the most deeply spiritual people I know, they don't even talk about spirituality. They live it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't hear them always going around preaching or saying or trying to influence others. We're trying to, as we say, spew their stuff so that they hope that it might in some way raise up followers behind them. You know, they just be what they are, and it's just, you know, you can almost feel it emanating from them. You don't have to see it, you know, written on their shirt or on a tagline, right?
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to behold. These people are beautiful to be around. You can feel a healing presence from them. Their life is their sermon, the way they live. They're wonderful to be around. I've been fortunate enough to, in my short time here on the planet, have known people like that. And far be it from me, I've had even people include me in that number. I'm just thankful for it. But that's how we learn, and that's how we grow.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about your book, because I think it's a wonderful topic to share with the listeners. Because it is so concise, it is so easy, and I think for almost anyone that says, something, I need a shapeshift, I need a mind makeover, you know, this is a great place to start because, you know, each day, how long does it take you to read, you know, 2 pages of big print? Less than 2 minutes, right?
Thank you for saying the big print. Yes, I need big print. Yeah, I mean, whether you read the book, which I hope people do, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, they can get it in hardcover or Nook or Kindle. But for me, what I try and do every morning when I first get up is just to say thank you. I do meditate, but I try to read, whether it's some poetry, whether it's something from my own book, or whether it's Eckhart Tolle, A Course in Miracles, just something inspirational to set me up for the day. Because when you first get up, that's when your mind is most open.
Yes.
And that's a good time to envision the day you want to have, to just say thank you to who or whatever for letting you get up. And in the evening, again, it could be a poem. It doesn't have to be the book. It could be anything. I hope it's my book. I think it's worth it. But just something to set you up for the day. And you will start to crave it. You will start, your spirit will every day say, well, wait a minute, you didn't pray, you didn't meditate today, you didn't.
Right.
It's like your body craves exercise once you start getting a good health regimen going. Well, your spirit and your mind will do the same thing. And you'll find the difference when the days you do it and the days you get too busy to do it.
True, true. Let's talk about, you said in your chapter on Think Rationally, you know, so many people disvalue the aspects that they do in a day that are so vital, and that if we would just be aware of them a little bit more, I think some of our perceptions would change. I know for myself, yesterday I said, I'm going to write down today. And I said, okay, wow, I got up in the morning. It was real cool yesterday morning. That to us is 60s. But the birds were going crazy. It was cool outside. And I said, oh, you know, take that in. Then I went for a walk, and I counted how many people. I live in the South, and everybody here, it doesn't matter who you pass, you always say hello. So I said, wow, you know, I've on my walk, I've said hello and connected eyes with greater than 25 people. And that was great. Then I went to the swimming pool, and I sat there and just watched the waves, and the water was ice cold. But I said, you know, I'm just going to sit here and just, you know, chill and not have anything in my mind. And we give so little value to those very few things that are so important in life and that really is what our life is about.
Yeah, I live in the South as well, and that's very true. When I was talking about thinking rationally, I was talking about in situations where we find ourselves full of fear or getting very, very anxious. And sometimes thinking rationally, and I don't mean not being intuitive or left right brain versus left brain. I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking about that if we can just take a couple deep breaths in a situation and say, what's the worst that can happen here and what's the best that can happen here?
Right.
And then it gives us a handle on how to handle the situation. If worrying won't help it, which it usually doesn't, then we just have to breathe through it and say, you know, because sometimes our fears can get in the way. Give you an illustration. Someone told me a story about a friend of theirs who was going for a loan for a home. And that morning they got up and they went and they were very nervous in the shower. You know, they just kept talking about, oh, God, I got to go do this. And they were getting dressed. And, you know, just this dread, you know, over breakfast.
Right.
Couldn't enjoy the breakfast. And then the individual said to their partner, look, what's going on? What's going on? And their fear was that they didn't get the loan. But
yeah,
they had already started fearing that, and they hadn't even left the house yet.
Yeah.
So they had to sit down and talk. Well, look, baby, look, if you don't get the loan, we'll try something else. But let's just be rational here. You haven't gone there yet. You know, don't let the worries get in the way, because they could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Let's be rational. Let's see what happens. A lot of times we worry about stuff that hasn't happened, and we worry about things that have already happened, which we can do nothing about. And so we're never really in the present. We're thinking about the past and worrying about the future. And that just is not a healthy thing to do.
And I think the items that I mentioned, too, are sometimes when you're in the deepest, darkest fear, if you go out and sit at the pool, or if you go out and hear the birds, it will totally shift your consciousness out of that, and it won't run the train. In other words, how can you look at some things when you just, you know, in other words, if I'm feeling really desperate, you know, people get really sick. But when you bring a newborn baby into the room, they light up. That kind of concept, you know. And to be able to have those little shifts, sometimes when you get those little shifts in there, I think someone that's really ingrained in that negative fear-based life, if you keep taking these little shifts, smile at people on the walk, go sit at the pool and listen to the birds. If you do that repetitively every single day or every few days and start getting into that lightness, it's sort of like it kind of takes some of the dead flowers off of the plant so that the plant can flourish. In other words, it's allowing, it's opening up space. It's giving you something that will shape-shift you eventually.
You are absolutely correct. And nature has a way of doing that. Going and being in nature, in the woods.
Yeah.
Or take your shoes off and put your feet on the earth. Go by the pool. Go by the ocean. Yeah, all these things will bring you back to self. And when I
and
say
you know,
self, I mean with a capital S, that part of you that never changes.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? It's you can ask somebody sometimes, like on a Monday, and they'll say they're really worried about their doctor's appointment on Friday. and then they go to the doctor's appointment and everything is okay. And then you come out of the appointment, and I know I've said this one time a while back, I said, have you worried about that since Monday? And they said, yeah. I said, gosh, did you waste all your time on that? You know? And they did. They wasted their entire week, 24 hours a day, worrying about something that they couldn't fix, they couldn't change. The outcome was the outcome, but yet that time all went, you know, and it was like, okay, you know, okay. That's all you can say is okay, you know, because that's their choice.
But I
think saying it brought their awareness to it, and they're like, wow, yeah, I did waste all that time. But that was an awareness. So sometimes I guess those little things, you know, do come up.
Yes, and that's what transformation is, the awareness. It doesn't mean you don't necessarily still do it, but you can catch yourself when you're doing it.
Yeah, because we are individuals and we're not perfect. Even you and I, I'm sorry, I'm the first one to raise my hand. I won't speak for you, but I slip quite often, you know. I think my slips are less. A lot less as days go by, but I will tell you, I am not perfect by any means, and I just, that's not my position to be perfect, you know, mine is to experience, and that's where I am at, and I think, you know, I'm sure you might suggest that for others too, right?
To be human, but I also realize that it's very difficult, and so I make room for that, because it's just, sometimes it's hard. If you came up in a family where you got rewarded for being perfect, if you came up in a family where you are the caregiver and you only got love or thought you could only get love as long as you were taking care of other people or entertaining other people, it's difficult just to say, well, just stop it. And so, you know, you never know what journey people are on.
No. And I think it's okay, though. Right, and
so
to just see
it. Has it. To be. It has to be okay, because, again, as we said earlier, it's about our journey, not anybody else's.
That's right. Well, Reverend Carter, could you please share what your favorite part of the book is? I really always ask this, and I think it's important because I'm sure you have a favorite that you're like, if you're super stuck, like I've said in the beginning of the show, I'm stuck in cement, my feet are welded to the ground, I do not know where to start, dude, I am so stuck, but I'll tell you, if I don't do something soon, I am checking out.
I have my favorite part of the book is the two stories at the end. On page 85, they start on 85. The one is about the Chinese farmer, and then the other story is about the hermit and the bishop. I love those two stories. The Chinese story because the Chinese farmer story is because we don't know. What something may look like it's a terrible, terrible omen, and then you find out that it's the best thing that ever happened to you. The illustration with the bishop is wonderful because sometimes we can get so self-righteous that we don't know that other people can teach us lessons only if we're open to it.
Okay.
So I don't know if you wanted me to read those two, but whoever gets to
sure,
know, just,
feel free.
Okay. Well,
yes, feel free because I think sometimes. As I've said in the show before, sometimes we just need to hear it come back to us. And I think when you share it, I'm sure some of your essence and your knowing will come through.
Okay, well, here we are. The first story is about a poor Chinese farmer who only had one broken-down workhorse to help him do his work. And one day his horse got loose and ran away. His neighbors came around to offer their condolences on his bad luck, but the farmer would only say, good luck, bad luck, it's hard to say. A week later, the horse returned, bringing with it five young stallions. Again, the neighbors convened to empathize with the farmer, this time to share their delight at his good fortune. Still, the farmer simply said, good luck, bad luck, it's hard to say. The farmer's young nephew was working to tame the wild horses, and about a month later, the nephew fell and broke his leg. The neighbors came to commiserate, but still the old farmer would only reply, good luck, bad luck, it's hard to say. 2 weeks after the accident, war was declared, and every able-bodied young man was conscripted to join the army. The old farmer's nephew was exempted because of the broken leg, so he was not involved in the battle in which every other young man in the village was killed. Good news, bad news. It's hard to say. The second illustration is a bishop. He's on an ocean voyage who passed by a small island inhabited by three hermits. The bishop asked for the opportunity to go and meet these men, and so it was arranged. As he spoke with the hermit, he asked about their prayer practice, and they said, "Well, we pray as we've always prayed, as our ancestors prayed. You are three, we are three, have mercy on us." The bishop was horrified and proceeded to teach them the proper way to pray, the Lord's Prayer, as taught in the Gospel of Matthew. It took nearly all day, but as the sun was setting, the hermits seemed to have gotten the prayer, they memorized it, and the bishop went back to his ship, feeling quite proud of himself. That evening, he woke and he heard sounds of people shouting on the deck. He immediately went topside, only to see a golden glow moving toward him across the water. As it got closer, the bishop was amazed to see the three hermits. They were running on top of the water. "Reverend Father," they called, "we are so terribly sorry to trouble you, but soon after you left, we realized that we couldn't remember the prayer you taught us. Could you teach it to us again?" The bishop did return, but this time to learn rather than to teach. Those are my favorite stories.
I think they are wonderful stories, and your book is just full of inspiration. It definitely has some heartfelt stories. It also has a lot of affirmations in here, I think, which are very important, and I think it's really meant to stir. You're not, I say to people, you don't have to be walking around, "I am this today, I am this today." What it's meant to do also is to stir something in you that would say, maybe I am or maybe I'm not, and maybe how can I be or is this, you know, whatever it might be for me. And I think that's the purpose of all of this information.
Yeah, and if you're going to say, "I am anything," just say, "I am."
Yes.
That's good enough.
You know, Reverend Carter, I have to tell you this story. I had Miguel Ruiz Jr. on one of my shows about 2 years ago. And we were talking in the beginning, and I said, "Well, Miguel, it's going to be a problem because if the show might go off," and I said, "because we're having a really bad storm here." And all of a sudden, this big crack of lightning, and it's on the tape, on the recording, big crack of lightning. You would have thought the earth cracked open. It was so loud, right? And then we kind of just chuckled at it. We went on with the show. And I was sharing with him the story that I've had my websites up, and they really needed attention. I kind of didn't feel any connection to them anymore. I didn't feel energy to them anymore. And I didn't know if they served my purpose or not. And I said, the web person kept saying, "You need to change this." And I kept saying, so for up to 9 months, I sat there with that sheet in front of me. And it was the bio page about me, you know. I'm sure you have one on yours. And when it said about me, I had "I am" on the page. And I said, "I don't know what else to say." And I was so frustrated with myself that I could not figure out what the heck to put on that page that I was stuck with "I am." And what I didn't realize is that it was a message to me just that "I am." So you know what I do with the websites? They're still the same. I never touch them, but I still hold on to the concept "I am." Isn't that funny?
Yes, yes, yes. These little subtle or not so subtle messages that God or the universe or whatever you want to call it sends us. And only if we are open, if we are open, will we get it.
Yeah, I was so locked in that I had to change the words on there. I finally said the words are on there if others needed to connect with it. But myself, I couldn't. It was just what I was, and that was the end of that. So, hey, those 2 years later, those pages are still up there, and I haven't touched them. So,
yes, that's wonderful. It's a wonderful story.
Well, you know, Reverend Carter, it was a pleasure to have you with us here today. And could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? And I know you have some other books out there, and you have some other books, too.
Yes, I have a book called Alien Scriptures, Extraterrestrials in the Holy Bible. That was my master's thesis. It became a book. Sometimes I appear on the Ancient Aliens television series because I wrote about a lot about religion and UFOs. Mm-hmm. My second book is called A New World as You Can Take It, God, Extraterrestrials, and the Evolution of Human Consciousness. And this, of course, is my third book, God Consciousness. You can go just type in Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. That's .com. My website is there. It could use a little work, but it is there. You could also just type in Reverend Michael J.S. Carter and Google me. My books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and they come in paperback, Kindle, or in Nook form. And you can always write me at michaeljscarter@gmail.com.
Well, you know, I think this was a great conversation. What are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it, and I would look forward to doing it again, maybe about the other books.
Absolutely.
It seems to be a good topic about UFOs and religion. Would love to sit down and do another session with you.
Well, I think that would be great. So the listeners, keep your eye out for Reverend Carter again to be listed on the shows. Perhaps we'll have him on in the next month or so, and I think that's a great topic. A lot of people are having, you know, different things are going on in everyone's head, and I always like to just have a show on and say, hey, I'll tell you my thoughts. You could tell me your thoughts, and we'll just put it out there. And that's really what this show is all about, is about, you know, turning over the stone, saying, hey, I think something's really funky under there. What does that look like? And I think that that's fun because, hey, everybody is so different. I really want to reach as many people as possible, and I think that's what you do also. So thank you for your work.
Thank you, and please send me the link. I can't wait to share this conversation with people.
Absolutely. So, Reverend Carter, we'll get the link to you. We'll have you back on another show, and it was great to have you with us today.
Okay. Wish you many blessings, and take good care.
Thank you, and you as well.
All right. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to find out more information about Reverend Carter, his link is on the bottom of today's show page. Please do click on there, and you'll go directly to his website. It has been a great day with you today. Have a wonderful day, and please do stop to smell those roses. And if you're going on a walk, count how many people you say hello to or connect your eyes. Have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone, or the television remote, or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.